Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. More cowbell. We need more cowbell. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. The Affordable Care Act, the Republicans rolled out a new bill yesterday. Haven't read through this thing yet. I'm not really sure exactly where it stands. Here's what I do not like, though. I don't think it addresses the real problem that people are having in this country with health care. Now, what we have been led to believe was that the answer to all of this, the answer to all of this was to give people more options on insurance. So the Obama administration came in and, I mean, it just seems like unprecedentedly, they required Americans to buy a product that they have designated and take their money each month and pay for a product whether they want it or not. And if you don't pay for this product, you get fined. So before, if you could not afford health insurance and you didn't buy health insurance, that was one thing. Now, if you can't afford insurance and you don't buy insurance, you also get fined for it. Okay? So then they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you these, we're going to give you a credit on this. We'll give you, you know, a refund, a rebate. Basically, we'll supplement, we'll use tax dollars to help you pay for this insurance that you can't afford. So it makes me pay for somebody else's insurance, right? So, but it doesn't address the real issue in this country, and that is the cost of the health care. It doesn't address who actually pays for the health care. And we have seen time and time again that, you know, you go to the hospital and it costs $100 to get an ACE bandage or, you know, $25 for a Band-Aid. That's not addressing the cost of health care. Right now, let's go to the phones and talk with Brad Franco over at News 2. Brad, how are you, buddy?
You're not quibbling over details about who's paying for stuff, are you?
Who's paying for what? That's it. That's it. That's the details there.
It's a big question.
Yes, it is. So any news about how people are feeling about the new health care plan?
Not yet. Yesterday afternoon, so I think we'll really kind of get a better idea on this today.
Right.
I mean, it's... I think you know what's going to happen. Why are we even trying to figure it out? Republicans are going to like it. Democrats aren't going to like it.
I don't. Right? I don't. You know, some Republicans, I think, aren't. They're calling it Obamacare light. I don't think everybody's on board with this thing just yet.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get that too.
So
listen, this is like 5:26 to me.
You're exactly right.
Call
me
when you're done.
Yeah. Figure this thing out and then let us know.
Figure it out. That's why you're there. Figure it out.
Yeah. So, hey, what about this kid out in Berkeley County, aggravated assault at Sedgefield Middle School?
Yeah, something, isn't it?
Yeah.
We haven't seen the video. Police have seen the video, and in their report, they detail what they saw in the video, and that is the kid kicked the basketball, knocks the kid down, he hits his head. Now, it's unclear if he's unconscious already.
Right.
Or what, but the kid comes over and kicks that kid who's down in the head.
Right.
At some point, the kid's unconscious, so...
Yeah, we don't know exactly when it happened. I mean, now, if it were just a case of a kid kicking a ball and it hits another kid in the head, that's one thing, but to follow up like that, that wasn't...
Follow-up is vicious.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, what else are you guys looking at over there?
The funerals are today, or at least the wake is, for the victims of that St. Stephen fire last week.
Yeah, boy, that was awful.
And I don't know if you've seen the interview yet, but we talked to... the man, you know, the husband and father who lost his wife and kids in that fire.
Yeah.
And, you just try to put yourself in his position. It's such a nauseating position to be in. But, you know, the guilt that he's living with now of not being able to save them.
Right. Just, oh, yeah. God, I mean, just
can't even imagine what he's going through. And I just don't know how he's going to do. It's so ridiculously tough. tough. There really aren't any words.
No.
You can struggle for them all day long, but
I could imagine what that person's going through. All right, a little bit of a follow-up with a story we talked about last week about that church up in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming to their defense?
Some of the members are.
Yeah.
But, again, if you listen to the people who left the church, that stuff could all be coaxed, forced, whatever.
Right, because we know, I mean, they use that to keep, I guess, their parishioners, if you will, to keep them under control. It's amazing to me that people actually buy into this stuff.
And then the revelation that two of the attorneys in the district attorney's office up there are members, ministers at this church.
That's unbelievable, man. 40 members told news organizations that they were subjected to physical abuse to purify their sins. I don't remember seeing a whole lot of that in the Bible.
No, that must have been the chapter we skipped.
I guess so. I guess so. So I guess more of this will come out about Word of Faith Fellowship, and they're denying this.
You know, there's legal action going on, but it's yikes, man.
Yeah.
But you know, those people who got it, like we heard from a guy who's running a group basically counseling people who've gotten out.
Right.
And how to, you know, like, wow, you were brainwashed. Come on back in here and let's talk about it. And he's actually, sounds like he's hoping to make a difference, but there are a lot of people in that church that still believe everything.
I mean, right, yeah.
If you watch the videos, it's like, wow.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Hey, how about this theater manager got caught peeping?
Like,
I don't get it.
I don't either.
He said he didn't get any thrill out of it.
Well, then why do it?
Exactly. I mean, why did he go through all that trouble that he went through to be able to peep at the into the restrooms at the theater?
And how long was it going on?
Right.
The question that
Yeah, so not good.
Scary stuff, man. It's check everything. You got to, you know, you almost have to be paranoid. It's like, come on.
That's right. Aren't you glad that you're of somewhat sound mind?
Well, depends on who you ask, Charlie.
That's true. I'll ask Josh and Octavia about that.
Ask me in about 3.5 weeks.
That's right. All right, buddy. We appreciate it, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.
Brad Franco from News 2.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:23, 23 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Jason Chaffetz appeared on Fox and Friends. We played this for you a little bit earlier this morning, but I want to reiterate what he had to say.
Look hard at this. Devin Nunes and the House Intelligence Committee will take the lead on this. We'll play a role in the Oversight Committee, but I'm going to go into it eyes wide open. We've had experience. The Obama administration's been notorious on this type of stuff, and we're going to look hard at it.
You're a victim.
Well, yeah, look, let's remember what they did with James Rosen. Let's remember that the IRS did target, Americans based on their political beliefs. And in my own personal case, I had more than 40 Secret Service agents illegally tap into my records and dive into my background, and that's according to the Inspector General. So this stuff does happen, and it's not necessarily done the legal, lawful way. And so, yeah, we're going to take a look at it.
And they should look at it, because these allegations by Donald Trump, remember, this originally started with this Wall Street, New York Times report that says that Michael Flynn was basically brought down by wiretaps from the Obama administration. Now, Jason Chaffetz said right there that the Obama administration is notorious for this type of stuff. So what was he talking about? Well, United States National Security Agency bugged a private climate change strategy meeting between UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and German Chancellor Angela Merkel in Berlin. So we bugged Angela Merkel. Obama bugged Chief of Staff, UN High Commissioner for Refugees, for long-term interception. They targeted his Swiss phone. Obama signed out the Director of the Rules Division of the World Trade Organization, Johann Humann, and targeted his Swiss phone for long-term interception. Obama stole sensitive Italian diplomatic cables dealing about how Israel's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, was imploring Italy's prime minister, Berlusconi, to help patch up his relationship with Barack Obama, who, remember, was refusing to talk with Netanyahu. Obama intercepted European Union and Japanese trade ministers' phone calls discussing their secret strategy to stop the U.S. extorting them from the World Trade Organization. Obama targeted five other European economic officials for long-term interception. That included the French, Austrian, and Belgian phone numbers. Obama targeted the phones of Italy's ambassador to NATO and other top Italian officials for long-term interception. Obama intercepted details of critical private meetings between the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, Angela Merkel, and Berlusconi, where Berlusconi was told that the Italian banking system was ready to pop like a cork. So we knew about that because we were bugging them. So now we know that Obama wiretapped various individuals in the U.S. media that were reporting information that were not flattering to the Obama administration. Justice Department targeted journalists with wiretaps back in 2015, and one of them was Fox News' James Rosen. Not only him, but his family as well. They were part of an investigation into government officials leaking information to journalists. All right? So his actions were tracked. Also in 2013... members of the Associated Press were targeted for surveillance. Cheryl Atkinson, in 2014, her computer was hacked into when she worked at CBS because she was posting what the administration considered unfavorable stories about Benghazi. So, yeah, it seems to be a bit. I do not understand why the media. And remember, Cheryl Atkinson, when she started reporting this, she was summarily dumped from CBS. She go bye-bye. I don't understand why the media has been so silent on this when you've got our government. And why is Angela Merkel still a big supporter of Barack Obama? You think she would have kicked him to the curb a long time ago. So is it really that much of a stretch for the president to say that Obama was wiretapping Trump Tower? Yeah, folks, this is big, and I think it's going to blow up this week.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:39, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Who do you think in all the world would be the most informed people as far as politics and the Trump administration and Congress and national security and foreign policy? Who do you think the most informed people in the world would have? I will guarantee you that late night talk show host did not make the top 10, probably. I'll just say that. I'll say late night talk show host probably didn't even appear on the radar. Well, David Letterman is coming out saying that it is the responsibility of late-night hosts to basically shed light on the Trump administration. That's their job. You know, it does every day. I miss Johnny Carson more and more and more. Just somebody who at the end of the night will come along, they'll make a few jokes, they will entertain you, and lull you to sleep at night. Here's a montage of David Letterman's interviews with Donald Trump throughout the years.
We are living in very precarious times. If you look at what certain countries are doing to this country, such as Japan, I mean, they've totally taken advantage of the country.
Without embarrassing yourself, can you give me an idea of something nice you've done for somebody recently?
Well, I married Marla, and now I'm giving her a big settlement. Oh, I sold a house for $100 million.
Two bedroom?
2 weeks ago.
Even worse. I think it's a teardown. You know, I think it's a teardown.
It's a teardown.
to a very nice Russian.
Now, you've revitalized the beauty pageants.
I think I've done a good job. You've made them more interesting
to the home viewers. And what was the key to that? What was the one thing that you needed to fix?
Well, Miss America made the bathing suits one piece, very large, and you weren't allowed to wear shoes. Mm-hmm. What I did is I made the heels higher and the bathing suits smaller, and it was amazing. It was amazing what happened to the ratings. The ratings became very, very good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, with this kind of genius, we have nothing to worry about.
I have nothing against China. I just hate that their leaders are so much smarter than our leaders. 2016, we will not be the world leader anymore. We have been always.
But in 2016, China becomes the great economic leader.
They are great ties.
The ties are made in where? China? Ties are made in China.
Now, Don, are you running for presidency, or is it another phony campaign, or are you really running?
You know, I never said I was running. I never said I was running before.
All right, so that was the appearance. Now, remember, Letterman loved Donald Trump back in the day when Letterman was bringing him ratings, right? He always all for Donald Trump. You know, this man's a genius. And now that he's president of the United States, of course, you know, he can't even tie his own shoes, according to Letterman and all of the other late-night talk show hosts. So, let's see what else. Conan O'Brien talked last night about, I think he's down to one show a week now. How's that working out for you, Conan? I think Conan is basically concentrating on his YouTube channel. Oh, that's kind of like a kiosk at the mall, isn't it? But he talks about Trump's travel ban.
Today, of course, the big story. Donald Trump issued a new travel ban that is less restrictive than his first one. Right. Yeah. This one bans some Muslims and all women who haven't been able to lose the baby weight. So,
roll that Conan. He's a funny one, ain't he? I haven't checked Conan because I haven't really cared. But to see how many writers he's got on his show. Well, I think we saw over on the Stephen Colbert show, they got like 16 writers for a one-hour show. That's light lifting, I will say. That's a pretty light lifting there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. And I tell you what I'm going to do right now. I have got some tickets to go see Boys to Baghdad. Now, if you don't know about this show, it's a fantastic show. It's coming to the Satilli Theater, and you need to get in on this. Two tickets to Boys to Baghdad, and it's going to be playing March the 11th. That is Saturday, March the 11th. It's a fantastic show about this young man who goes off to war. It's kind of a coming-of-age story. And caller number 5 right now going to pick up these tickets. It's a great night out, by the way, for you and your significant other. So caller number 5 right now, 556-1250 is going to pick up these tickets to Boys to Baghdad. Let's go to the phones right now and say, hey, good morning. Who's this?
This is Jack MacArthur.
Jack, how are you this morning, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I appreciate it. You have just picked yourself up a pair of tickets to Boys to Baghdad coming to the Satilli Theater.
Oh, excellent. I was a Desert Storm veteran also.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you will absolutely love this show. We appreciate your service. John Quincy is going to get some information from you so you can pick up these tickets and head out there to the show coming up on the 11th. That's Saturday the 11th. We'll have more tickets to give away coming up tomorrow morning for Boys to Baghdad at the Satilli Theater. Satilli Theater, never been there. Need to go see a show there. Maybe I'll go see this one. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. What do you think about the travel ban? I mean, we got so much to talk about. What do you think about the travel ban? What do you think about the new rollout or the rollback of Obamacare? Is it just Obamacare light? I don't really think we've found out yet all of the details of this plan the Republicans have put forward, but would certainly like to know more about it. And also in the news, they say that North Korea is training for strikes on U.S. bases, and they are pledging actual war with the United States. Seems like Kim Jong-un is a little restless. He needs a little bit of attention on the world stage, so he's making some pretty big threats. However, I mean, if you take a look at some of their arsenal, now they are a nuclear country. They have the bomb. And they said yesterday or early today that the missile launches that appeared, that happened earlier this week, this weekend, the ones that fell short of Japan were actual training exercises to bomb U.S. bases in Japan. And they're trying to develop a missile that will actually reach the United States. President Trump has said that there's going to be some swift and strong response to this, and I think there needs to be. Absolutely. This guy's a nut. He's a whack job. Did you know this? His father played golf and shot an 18. That's right. These are amazing stories that the North Korean media come out with. His father played golf, shot an 18 because he's that good. He perfected the game right off the bat, didn't even need a lesson. And also, there is a secret place. I'm not lying about this. This is the truth. There's a secret place in North Korea that has unicorns. That's right. That's where unicorns. That's what they tell their people over there. And they've got no other choice than to believe them because, hey, that's what the North Korean news media puts out. And also, there was a report. I don't know if this one is true, so I'll just tell you that. There was one report that Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's father, never used the restroom. He didn't. He was above that. He didn't need to do that. And I think we know exactly why he died. He exploded.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. About 7 minutes until 9 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Gary. Gary, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. You're talking about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
North Korea.
Right.
It's a little hard to take him serious when he's not even tall enough to ride the rides at Disney World.
No, but no. According to North Korea newspapers, he's a giant. He's a giant among men. But you got to take him seriously if he has access to nuclear weapons. Crazy is definitely a threat to world security.
Well, I think this is a job for the Navy SEALs.
So you're saying we need to take him out?
Well, no, not necessarily take him out, but
right.
Make their facilities unable to produce rockets or
right.
their warheads.
Well, something's going to have to happen, because if this guy is planning, as he says, he is planning on waging war against the United States and bombing our military bases in Japan. I mean, we've got to be able to do something to protect ourselves. Gary, I appreciate you calling in. But this guy, the whole regime over there is absolutely nuts. I don't know if you know this, but his father invented the hamburger. That's right. That's right. Invented the hamburger. His father, remember the pantsuit, the Hillary Clinton-style pantsuit that Kim Jong-il used to wear? He was considered a fashion icon in North Korea. And did you know this? There are only 3 approved haircuts in North Korea. 3 of them. Seriously. So either you can look like Kim Jong-il or you can look like Mo from the Three Stooges. That's basically your choices right there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. But this guy is a scary threat to the United States and, of course, our allies over there in Japan. So, something got to be done about him. All right, what's going on with teenagers these days? And I know that has been said since the first, I know, like Adam was looking at Eve and going, what is going on with these teenagers? I don't understand them. He probably talked like this. So, what's going on with these teenagers? I don't understand them these days. Well, first of all, let's go out to Berkeley County. And Berkeley County Sheriff's Office has responded to an aggravated assault incident at Sedgefield Middle School on Friday afternoon. Middle school? So according to police reports and first responders, they found the school nurse providing aid to an unconscious student on the floor of the gym. Now, the nurse said that the student needed an ambulance. So there's a suspect there who is also a student, allegedly hit the victim in the head with a basketball, causing him to fall and hit his head on the ground. So, according to the investigation, and apparently they've got video of this, the suspect then went up and kicked the victim in the head while he was on the ground. This kid has been charged with aggravated assault, and rightfully so. And I don't know what you do with some kid like that. I mean, they need to go to jail. All right? So, been charged with aggravated assault. Berkeley County School District released a statement in regards to that, saying Berkeley County School District officials are aware of the incident that occurred on March 3rd. Based on initial reports, school administrations and staff reacted quickly and appropriately to the incident and immediately involved the school resource officer. So that was it. Where is the statement saying, hey, don't do that? What they were saying was, hey, look, we did our bid. But what about the kid? What about the kid's parents? I swear to you, the idea, the thought of kicking somebody in the head is beyond me. Even farther beyond me is what happened in Zebulon, North Carolina. This is a horrible, horrific story. A teenager decapitated his mother yesterday. Oliver Funes, 18 years old, has been charged with first-degree murder. Now, the first deputy on the scene found Funes with his mother's head in one hand and a large butcher knife in the other. Now, it was Funes who called 911 after he committed this heinous crime. It took place about 1 o'clock in the afternoon there in the what they call the pilot community near Zebulon. Two children were at home when the attack happened. Another one that was in the family was at school at the time. The husband was on the scene. Of course, you can imagine he was distraught. Neighbors are stunned about this. A complete and utter shock. They say it's a terrible situation for the family, a terrible situation for the neighborhood in this county. I'm glad things worked out the way they did. No one else was hurt in taking the suspect into custody. So this guy, that's just heinous. When do we get to that, if our kids are that bad? And I know these are rare instances and rare cases, but still, I mean, you've got to wonder what the heck. You know, we've had several callers over the past, I don't know, year and a half calling in talking about we've got a really serious mental health problem in this country, and they're right. I don't know what the heck's going on out there, but we are losing our minds. So I don't know what to do. I just don't. It's one of those things that makes you scratch your head and you just wonder, what could someone at all be thinking when that happens? I remember I was playing kickball one day in middle school, kicked the ball, hit the pitcher right in the head. I felt bad about it. I didn't run over and give him another kick. Not at all.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It is not often, if ever, that I quote NPR on this show because we all know that they're in league with the Democrat Party, and they're definitely biased, although they do it in such a sweet, nice, low-speaking voice way. Coming up next, gardening with John Entwistle. We'll show you how to plant roses.
So, yeah, that's, I could work at NPR. I
hope we recorded that. I'll send that in as an air check and see if I can get a gig over there on NPR. Work with the enemy. So anyway, they have, this is according to South Carolina Public Radio, NPR.org. Intelligence officials, transcripts of Flynn's calls don't show criminal wrongdoing. Intelligence official, colon, transcripts of Flynn's calls don't show criminal wrongdoing. If there were no wiretaps, how do you have transcripts of the conversation? I'll do that as Bill Cosby. If you don't got the wiretaps, hey, you got the transcripts of the conversation, blarty, garty, burda, burda. So, right there, isn't that enough proof? And again, we read you that laundry list of people that the Obama administration has wiretapped over the years. If there's no wiretap, how in the world are there transcripts of the conversation? That's pretty, it would seem to be pretty basic to me to wonder how that happened. NPR says Trump team was wiretapped and they have transcripts of the calls. So let's say they go on to say current U.S. intelligence official tells NPR's Mary Louise Kelly that there's no evidence of criminal wrongdoing in the transcripts of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's conversation with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak, although the official noted that it doesn't rule out the possibility of illegal actions. The official also said that there are recordings as well as transcripts of the calls. So how is that not proof that the Obama administration was spying on a private citizen, Michael Flynn? Now, of course, we know Flynn resigned after allegations that he was talking about foreign policy with the Russians. And then he he lied. He lied to Mike Pence, the vice president, and that's a big no-no. So, NPR's Phil Ewing previously reported that it is not in dispute that Flynn spoke with Kislyak in late December. The issue is what he said. No, the issue now has become whether or not he was wiretapped. So there's got to be a wiretapping, right, going on there. But yet, nope, we got nothing. Well, I got nothing. I got nothing on these wiretaps. Even though we have transcripts of a wiretapped conversation, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. This is something that also caused a lot of eyebrows to be raised yesterday. It was HUD Director Ben Carson and some of the comments that he made.
That's what America is about. A land of dreams and opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less. But they too had a dream that one day their sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons, great-granddaughters might pursue prosperity and happiness in this land.
All right, so that was his quote about slavery. So, what is an immigrant? Now, everybody on the left, people blew up over this thing. Some people were calling, one guy called for Ben Carson to be assassinated on Twitter. Everybody else is making a big deal out of it. So what is an immigrant? Immigrant, noun, plural noun, immigrants, a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country. Synonym, newcomer, settler, migrant, immigrant, non-native, foreigner, alien, outsider, expatriate. So, technically speaking, the slaves were immigrants. It doesn't matter if they were here by their choice or not. And we certainly know that they had no choice. However, let me say this. The one big failing so far, I think, of the Trump administration is the way they speak. Now, you cannot, because of the way the media is and because of the way the left likes to spin things, whatever you say, every word that comes out of your mouth has to be deliberate. It has to be exactly what you mean to say. You can't be flying off the cuff. You can't do any extemporaneous speaking. Everything has to be. Why do you think Barack Obama rarely spoke without a teleprompter? He rarely spoke without a teleprompter. Because everything that the president says, everything a member of the administration says, has to be deliberate. It has to be, I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. It has to be literal. Literal. You can't expect these people on the left to understand the nuance of sarcasm. You can't expect them to understand the nuance of irony. You cannot expect them, what do they say? The left takes Trump literally, but they don't take him seriously. Where the people on the right, the conservatives, his supporters, take him seriously, but don't take him literally. So, I don't think Ben Carson, I'll say this about Ben, I love the guy, I think he's a fantastic human being, I really do, he's a brilliant, brilliant man. I think he might be a little over his head in the Trump administration. I never thought he was a good choice, really, for to be the director of HUD. I know he came with a bunch of, he came up from basically nothing, and he's a really good success story, but I'm not really sure if he is the correct person for that job. Let's go to Matthew in Mount Pleasant. Matthew, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Charlie?
Wonderful. What's up?
I just yelled at my radio.
Yeah?
So I yelled exactly. I'm actually out in the parking lot fixing something, and I yelled back at my truck. I was in depositions at one time in my past, and my lawyer said, I want you to answer every question, what he said, with an economy of words.
Yeah.
Preferably not more than yes, no, that is true, that is not true.
Right.
Regardless of how long the question is, the problem we have is that Democratic free talkers, like some of those knuckleheads we have in the House, nobody holds them to account.
Right.
But you can bet that every Republican nominee, every Republican surrogate, there are people monitoring their every word, parsing through every syllable that they say to try to extract something to create an issue.
Yes. You're exactly right.
That if somebody asks you, what do you feel about it, they go, I feel very strongly.
Yeah.
What do you feel very strongly about? Yes, what you just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Give them very little to chew on. Throw them an acorn and let them chew on it themselves.
That's right. I agree. And Hillary Clinton was, I mean, as much as I hate to compliment her, she was a master at that. Somebody would ask her a question, she would give a one or two word, maybe a three word answer, and then move on to something else.
Well, that's when she answered questions.
Yeah, when she did, right.
There was a period of time that she was giving no interviews, but that apparently was not a big deal. But if Donald Trump goes off and has lunch with somebody without announcing it to the press, it's a national catastrophe.
Right. They get all butthurt about it. Matthew, don't yell at your truck. Your truck ain't done nothing.
My truck's good.
Okay. Buddy, I appreciate you calling in. So Loretta Lynch said this the other day. Now, compare this to what Ben Carson said. Two different statements, but I'll tell you why we're going to mention this coming up.
I know that this is a time of great fear and uncertainty for so many people.
All right, so let's stop right there. Fear and uncertainty for so many people. What are you afraid of, and what are you uncertain about? She doesn't have to explain that because she's got the support of the media.
I know it's a time of concern for people who see our rights being assailed, being trampled on, and even being rolled back.
All right, what rights are being assailed, what rights are being trampled on, and what rights are being rolled back? None. Again, she doesn't have to answer this question.
I know that this is difficult, but I remind you that this has never been easy. We have always had to work to move this country forward to achieve the great ideals of our founding fathers. And that has been people, individuals, who have banded together, ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
All right, so if a conservative, and we've seen this before, it's happened a lot. If a conservative were to talk about the ideals of the founding fathers, what is the first argument the left comes up with? We've got to settle for the ideas of these white slave owners? That's what we've got to do, sir? We've got to, oh, those are the ideals that this country has to deal with. That's what we want to go back to. That's what make America great again stands for. He wants to go back to the days of slavery. And the press media go right along with it. Again, Ben Carson, not the greatest choice of words that he used. But again, the media is going to follow right in lockstep in blowing this way out of proportion.
1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 9:23, 23 minutes past 9 o'clock. Did you hear that Jimmy Buffett is opening up a, I don't know, I guess you want to go on a chain of retirement communities around the country? I know he's going to open up one. I'm probably looking at doing more. I don't know. When I retire, I don't want to sit around listening to Margaritaville 24 hours a day.
I've heard that song enough.
There are certain songs that I really could go the rest of my life without hearing again. Margaritaville is one of them. Old time rock and roll is another.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Never have to hear that again and I'll be all right. However, I do not think that The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald gets enough airplay.
You like
really,
that song,
I do
huh?
like, for some strange reason, I love that song.
That's one of the great bathroom records.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
6 minutes long.
Right. But on The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and Head Down the Hall. So, yeah, I don't know why. I will stop what I'm doing and listen to that song. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We're talking a little bit about what the comments from Ben Carson about immigration. And let me just see if I can try to get you some of these, what do you call them, tweets. Anyway, Twitter is blowing up over this, over what he had to say. And it's amazing that it's completely okay for the Democrats to say whatever they want to say. And they never get questioned on it. They never get called on it. But every word that a Republican says is going to be, I mean, they're going to get out the dictionary and go word by word by word to see exactly what they meant. Some people were calling for Ben Carson to be assassinated. Some people are, you know, they're calling him, you know, Uncle Tom, things like that. All the normal, you know, talking points that the folks on the left there have. But again, the folks in the Trump administration, you have got to get your act together in the way you're speaking. Now, I know they speak like you and I speak. I know they speak like you and me. We understand them. The folks that, you know, are conservative, the folks that didn't want a career politician in the White House, we understand that talk. We understand that. We're all right with it. But it's how the left, but it's how it's being spun by the media and by the left that is so troubling to you and me. Because all of this whole while, you know, and all of us, always the issue of slavery comes up. Yes, nobody is denying that slavery was a horrible thing. Nobody in the world is saying, that's slavery. Oh, well, yeah, those were good times. What they often leave out with this, you know, they always want to blame, you know, the white folks in America. And it was so funny because I will watch, Sheila and I watch these British shows, you know, and we watch one called QI. Quite interesting. And they used to have this host, and I cannot remember the guy's name. For some reason, his name is escaping me right now. And in about 10 seconds, Sheila is going to send me a text letting me know exactly what the guy's name was. Anyway, this guy was talking one night about slavery. And he was talking about the United States and our race issues and the issue that we have with slavery. And I was sitting there going, wait a minute, no. Because he was talking about the 400 years of slavery in America. So I yelled at the television, just like Matthew yelled at his truck. I said, no. American slavery didn't start until July 4th, 1776. That's when American slavery started. Before then, it was British slavery. It was the British that brought the slaves here. For the most part, it was the British. And the British that came over here and colonized and started the big plantations here. We didn't just pop up one day and start the slavery. American slavery started July 4th, 1776, and not a moment before. Like I said, before then was British slavery. We got it. We learned it from our grandpa over there across the pond.
So we had less than 100 years of American slavery.
Yes, we did. We had less than 100 years of American slavery. But yet, even the people over there in Great Britain, they want to point to the United States as being, you know, like we were the ones. We're the only country that had slavery. Excuse me. No, you can go back and look in history. There were a lot of countries who had slavery. Great Britain being one of them. Now, did they stop theirs before ours? Yeah, I think by about 50 years. But to make the United States the great slave owners of the world, hardly. And then they always forget about the Muslim slave trade, because that would be Islamophobic. Stephen Fry was the guy. I knew it was going to take took Sheila. No time at all. Stephen Fry was this guy. So, I would yell at the television about this stuff because it infuriates me when they're trying to say, and you know, you get to, anytime race comes up, it's always the United States that's looked at as being basically like we invented slavery. And that's just not the case. And again, nobody saying that slavery was a good thing. And yes, slavery was definitely a black mark on this country. But don't go acting like all of these other countries are blameless in it either, because that's just being completely disingenuous. Okay? All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. How in the world did we get on that? Oh, Ben Carson and his comments that he made. And again, they've got to really watch the way they say things in the administration. If I do, that is the biggest problem right now. I've got two problems with the Trump administration. Use your tweets sparingly. Pretend like they're arrows in a quiver and you have a finite number when you start sending out tweets. I don't have a problem with the president tweeting, but just make sure, you know, you're not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And make sure that you use every word wisely, or the media is going to rip you a new one.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9:36, 24 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Don. Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Charlie. How are you?
Good. What's up?
You'd mentioned about the slavery issue, about the English.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's not forget the Dutch.
Yeah.
And the Dutch, Middleton, Drayton, they only came up here to Charleston after the uprising down in Haiti,
mm-hmm.
and down in the Virgin Islands.
Right.
So that's the reason they came to Charleston. But let's not forget them either. And they came a lot earlier than 1860. Or whenever slavery started here in the United States.
Right.
Which wasn't even the United States at the time. So
right.
Let's not forget the Dutch. I think the whole European continent was involved with it. And it's no excuse for us.
No, none whatsoever. But if you look at us as a nation, we abolished slavery in 1865. That is less than 100 years after our founding. Now, that may seem like a long time, but in the timeline of history, it's a very short period of time. The United Kingdom abolished slavery in 1833. Brazil abolished it in 1888, some 23 years after us. Cuba abolished slavery in 1886. So, but I just, Don, I appreciate you calling in. I just hate when people automatic, and the only reason that it is this way is because we actually fought a war over it. We fought a war when the South tried to secede from the United States and become our own nation. And you can say what you want to, but it was about slavery. And you can boil it all down to, but the main issue for our secession was the issue of slavery. And that's the only reason why, you know, how many people in Cuba talk about slavery when they just abolished it in 1886? People in the UK don't sit around and have big discussions about slavery. They abolished that in 1833. The only reason that we talk about it today is because of the Civil War. That's it. We fought the war over it, and that's why it's always in the headlines. And I think down in Louisiana, they have just announced that that it was okay for Confederate monuments to be moved. And I don't know where they're going to put them or where they're going to locate them, but I think the State House down there over in Louisiana said that it was okay to move Confederate monuments. So, all right, 556-1250 is the number, but it's, you know, it gets exhausting to have to talk about this when literally other countries don't have to talk about it. I mean, you don't, I guarantee you, over in Great Britain, there's not a single talk show. Piers Morgan is not talking about slavery this morning. Nobody over there is talking about slavery. But because of these comments by Ben Carson, I will guarantee you the vast majority of morning news shows are talking about the slavery issue because it's come up and it continues to come up time and time again. And like I said, it's exhausting. It really is exhausting. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning to give us a call. 556-1250. Let's go out to Hanahan. And I think we got about to get Steve on hold here. We'll get his take on this and see what he has to say. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
What's up?
I put in 30 years in the military. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel. And the one thing that I experienced or I witnessed in my time in the military is this thing called reverse discrimination.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it, but it's a reality. And it happened because of political correctness.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that we didn't have a president for 8 years, Mr. Barack Obama, that didn't get in because of affirmative action. When you look at his education level from Occidental, a junior college in Southern California, a nothing college, then to Cambridge in New York City, and then he gets into Harvard with bad grades. How did that happen? Reverse discrimination. But we don't talk about that because it's not politically correct.
Right. Right. I mean, it's amazing to me, Steve, and what is more amazing is that they have sealed his college records, and we don't know how the guy got in to the colleges that he did. I guess, I don't know, maybe connections. I don't know. But, again, the race issue is tiresome. It is absolutely tiresome. Does racism occur out there? Absolutely. But you're going to tell me that Ben Carson is racist? I don't know if you've checked or seen his picture or looked him up online. This guy's an African American. And for the vast majority of his life, he was a very underprivileged African American. But he rose above that. And he became, I mean, my gosh, one of the greatest neurosurgeons that the world has ever known. Same with Colin Powell. Same with, Herman Cain. Same with Clarence Thomas. Nobody's trying to hold anybody back, especially conservatives. Conservatives want everybody to succeed because with success comes more success. So if you're that one person in your family and you decide, you know what, my family's been poor since I can remember, and you make that decision one day, do you know what? It ends here. I'm not going to be poor anymore. And you break that cycle of poverty, and you rise up, and you try to become something and make something of yourself, only to be put down by your peers and called an Uncle Tom and a house Negro. Look at Tim Scott. Tim Scott's a great example of all of the benefits that this country has to offer, but people want to negate that simply because he's a conservative. And that is doing a huge injustice to the children in our inner cities, in our urban areas, when what do they get to look forward to? So basically, I can go, I can be a rap star and be a rap star. I can play in the NFA, the NBA or the NFL. I can do that. And, or I can make something of myself. I can go to college. I can get good grades. I can behave myself in school. And I can become a successful businessman. And if I do that, people are going to call, and if I'm a conservative, I'm going to be called an Uncle Tom. So what's the incentive? What's the incentive? A huge disservice that the left is doing with this political correctness in changing the state of a lot of our underprivileged youth out there. And there are a lot of them. But conservatives don't want them to stay that way. Because conservatives know that if you have a cycle of poverty, it ends up costing your nation, your community, a lot more than cycles of success. I've got a friend of mine, and I don't know what it is about JoJo, man. JoJo always expects to be successful. He really does. He expects to be successful. I have always said about JoJo, he could fall into a bucket of manure and come out smelling like a rose. And it's not, it's only because he expects to. He expects to. And he's a very successful, he's not anything famous. He's not any, he's a carpet salesman. He sells carpet. But he decided one day that he was going to sell carpet better than anybody else. So he had a mentor, and this mentor said, here's how I did it. You do it the way I did it, and you'll be successful. So instead of having some big ego and JoJo going out there and trying to figure it out on his own, he listened to his mentor, and his mentor said, listen, here's what you do, JoJo. I guess he goes by Joe now. You, in your district, you've got all of these military bases, and you've got all of these hospitals, and you've got all of these government buildings, and they all have budgets. And if they don't spend their budget by the end of the year, then their budget gets reduced for next year. So they have to spend the money that's in their budget, or their budget gets reduced. He said, about a month before the budget is due, you go visit these government buildings. You go visit these military bases. And you say, hey, your budget's coming up. You got any money left over for carpet? And they all go, why, yes, we do, sir. We've got a yes, we do have a deal. We could really use some fresh carpet here. Let's get that delivered ASAP. And then he makes a ton of money doing it.
WTMA.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. About 7.5 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Of course, we've been hearing the big story that Donald Trump says that he was wiretapped in Trump Tower.
Hello, China. This is Donald J. Trump. I need to order some Make America Great Again golf hats, but I'd really like for you to make them extra baggy because I dig that look. Hello, Superlative Store? I need some really, really big words. Words like tremendous, huge, fantastic. Hey, what has a thick Austrian accent and sucks on The Apprentice? You. Hello, Supercuts? Why do you keep hanging up on me? Hello, Vladimir? OMG, did you see This Is Us? Spoiler alert, I can't believe that the dad died.
All right, there you go. Some hacked voicemails from Trump Tower. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. And, of course, you know, the media is trying to fall in and denying that, or looking for proof. All of a sudden they want proof. Proof is so important now. in this. But however, they don't need any proof whatsoever when they talk about whether or not the Russians hacked into our election system. Oh, there you go. You want to hear a funny statement here? Are you ready? This is a funny statement. This could be the funny statement so far of 2017. My brain won't let me enjoy reality TV, says reality TV star Thomas Ravenel. Yeah, of course. He's the star of Bravo's Southern Charm reality show, which I am so proud to say I have not seen a single episode. Ta-da! Sheila and I were even in one, and I haven't seen that. And guess what? Don't care if I ever do. And guess what? I don't care. So, he said, my brain won't let me enjoy reality TV. It scored high on the SATs. I don't even watch my own show. Well, now I've got something in common with Thomas Ravenel. Neither one of us watch Southern Charm. Let's see. He doesn't like to watch TV shows, not even his own. He tweeted the news this morning, citing his brain as the reason why he can't enjoy this kind of unscripted television programming. Even more specifically, he said he scored high on the SATs. All right, there you go. So now, a lot of people were pretty quick to point out the irony of Ravenel's claim about intelligence while making a spelling mistake. He says, Thomas Ravenel, your brain also fails to recognize the difference between, oh, and by the, yeah, he said, my brain scored too high, T-O high, instead of T-O-O, is T-O high. Your brain also fails to recognize the difference between two and two. And he really caught grief over that, man. And good for him. I'm glad. I am not a Thomas Ravenel fan. I'm not a fan of that show. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's, and now they've got some British model that's going to be on this thing. I'm like, how horrible can you, listen, if you are here from Ohio, we'll say, I know that's a stretch, but if you're here from Ohio, the people of Charleston are nothing like what you are seeing on this television show. Nothing. Now, some of them may try to be like that. And I know a lot of people with a lot of drama in their lives, but the vast majority of people here in Charleston really don't like that show, and they don't like those people. Okay? And they don't act like that. Period. And Thomas Ravenel is hardly the poster child of Charleston. All right? Just understand that. Or South Carolina, or anybody, or rational thinking human beings. Also. So, him and his tweet. He's as bad as Donald Trump. I don't understand. What is he doing when he tweets? You know what Donald Trump's doing when he sends out a tweet? What's Ravenel doing? I haven't made anybody mad yet today. Hey, it's been a while since I said something stupid. Hand me that phone. I'm going to send out a tweet. I got my fingers, my thumbs. I'm using my thumbs here. Look at them. They're opposable. My thumbs are opposable. Okay, so that's Thomas Ravenel. I just thought you'd find that funny. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this here morning. We only got a couple of minutes left in the old program. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got tickets to give away to Boys to Baghdad. You don't want to miss out on that. That is a fantastic show that is going to be at the Satilli Theater. You definitely want to check out that. And also want to remind you that you have a chance to do. What else we got for you here? Trying to find this little thing here. The Food Truck Rally 5K is coming up. You need to register for that at WTMA.com. That's coming up April 22nd. You're going to run. You're going to feast. You're going to celebrate. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, a 5K and food truck. No, you don't have to run the 5K. You can just go visit the food trucks. That would be pretty awesome. Also, the Insane Inflatable 5K is coming up. Lots of stuff is checking out for the summer and the spring coming up. Also, you can win tickets to the Jimmy Buffett concert that's coming up. You can register right there at WTMA.com for tickets for that. We got a lot of stuff going on, including crazy stuff like the Luck of the Irish sweepstakes. You can enter to win $4,000 there. So if you're looking for to win some stuff, WTMA.com is the place to be. All right, so what else is going on? James Comey. So what's the difference? And I want to talk about this more tomorrow because we're running out of time in today's show. What's the difference in Reince Priebus going to the FBI and saying, hey, guys, you found no evidence of any wrongdoing with the Trump campaign and the Russians? Why don't you report that? Now, remember, when Priebus did that, they lost their minds over it. What's the difference between that and James Comey of the FBI asking the Department of Justice to denounce Donald Trump's claims over wiretapping? What's the difference between the two? Well, one benefits Trump and one benefits the left. And once you understand somebody's purpose, you understand the reasons that they do things. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a great day. Bye, y'all.